Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation on a stormy night. The hurricane is not a hurricane. It's been downgraded from hurricane to something less, which is not to say that we know what's going to happen tonight. But so far, it looks like a big panic job across the eastern seaboard. And, of course, I don't know who we can blame the storm on. I guess if you're a Democrat, you blame it on Romney or Nixon. If you are a diehard Republican, you have to blame this on Obama. There's no question about it that Obama did the storm. Somehow Obama did cause the storm, or Romney caused the storm. I personally ask a question to myself over and over again today. Who will gain the most from this storm? Who will it hurt more, Romney or Obama, and why? And presto, there's an answer on the Savage Nation. Obama's brain, David Axelrod, he is Obama's brain, as you well know. David Axelrod, the man with two strands of hair that go over his head. Very intelligent man. Lifetime leftist street radical. Said that he's concerned that Hurricane Sandy, which is no longer a hurricane, it's now a storm Sandy, could reduce turnout and potentially hurt Obama's campaign. Obama's brain said, obviously, we want unfettered access to the polls. That's an interesting word, unfettered. I guess that means all of the millions of illegal aliens that Obama granted amnesty to should have access to the polls. All the people from Brooklyn who are living in Boca Raton should be able to vote in several different districts at once. He says, because we believe that the more people come out, the better we're going to do, said Obama's brain Axelrod. And so to the extent that it makes it harder, that's a source of concern. And so therefore, Axelrod, Obama's brain, said that the political implications of the storm remain hard to predict and that the president will be focused on helping the victims. Now, they're made for victims. The Democrat Party is seeking a few million new victims so they can help them because they feel their pain day and night. The storm's not a funny topic. But, you know, I have good memories of storms, truthfully. Some of my most pleasant memories of storms in New York when I was a kid. Snowstorms that my father couldn't get his car out of the driveway or out of the street, and he had to stay home. Little did I know that the family depended upon him, and there's no bread, meat on the table. But hey, the families draw together. People are drawn together around radios and televisions on a night like today. And so my memories are not that bad of storms. I hope this one turns out to be not that bad on the Savage Nation. I have no question for you whatsoever. Sandy slams ashore, East Coast braces for beating. Okay, well, we know that. So now a little water has come down the subway station steps. It's gone over the Battery Park, breakwater. In Atlantic City, the only people who've really been affected is the cast from Boardwalk Empire. Apparently, Steve Buscemi's shoe collection got washed away. Other than that, I mean, is there nothing so far? I mean, the ghouls have been waiting all day long for deaths, dying, and destruction. The three Ds of the TV media: death, dying, and destruction. So I'd rather talk about topics other than the storm. However, if you have a storm, a need to talk about the storm, for some reason, I don't know why anyone would call. You can call the Savage Nation at the number that I'm going to give you right now. You ready? Write it down: 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. It's on 132 markets by now after a week. So let's look at the news stories, okay? What are the news stories? Well, should we talk about Libya Gate or should we talk about Benghazi Gate? You know, Obama has to be one of the luckiest men alive. When this storm was coming in over the weekend, just as Obama's poll numbers were plummeting because of Libya Gate, suddenly he could hide behind the storm. It's a perfect storm for him because the people are not focused on the disaster and travesty called Libya Gate. Yes, he is directly responsible. Yes, there is a massive cover-up over the killing of our ambassador, the death of the Navy SEALs who were protecting him. Yes, Libya warnings were plentiful. Yes, Obama is responsible because he's commander-in-chief. There is no question that he is the luckiest man on the planet. Nobody becomes president unless they have a lucky star over there, I had to be honest with you. And he is a lucky man. He is a really lucky man. And maybe that's good for America that he's such a lucky man, you know. 1-855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. Father of slain seal to president's been saying all day, better to die a hero than live a coward. Better to die a hero than live a coward, and he certainly died a hero saving all those people. There's no question about that. What else can you talk about Libya? What can you say about Libya that hasn't been said already? You know that the president's a liar. You know that the president is responsible. You know that the entire cabal of Obamaites are the most, won't say the most, because in the 1800s they were more corrupt. Let us say in recent years there's never been a more corrupt administration. In recent years there's not been a more divisive administration. In recent years there's not been a more incompetent administration. And yet they're very clever, because when you have the fourth estate becoming the fifth column, they can get away with anything. And they do. They get away with everything. Right now, people are not fighting in the streets over gasoline and food. Not at all. No, not really. They're not going to fight over gasoline and food. In fact, presto, magico, gasoline went down about 50 cents a gallon in California because who knows why. I have no idea. They said gasoline prices went down. I filled up my tank. It cost me $80. I don't want to tell you what it cost me to fill up my boat tank, but it's quite expensive. The boat holds 1,400 gallons of diesel, and diesel's not that inexpensive. Luckily, I filled it when it was only $5 a gallon. I mean, I don't know what it is today. But look, you know, it's an old story. The fact of the matter is, life is what it is. We have the greatest country on earth, the worst president in American history, and a kind of lackluster, middle-of-the-road, check-pants Republican running against them, which is why it's neck-to-neck. If Romney were more aggressive, if Romney had a little more guts, if Romney showed a little more drive, if Romney showed a little more conservatism, if Romney went on the attack in debate number two when Candy Crawley, the creature from the Black Lagoon, came out of the swamp to front for Obama, it would be a different story. But Romney is too nice a man. I had dinner with him 2 years ago in December. Nice man, decent man, good man, like a deacon in a church. And who knows? He might win yet. And then what? You think the world's going to change for the better overnight? Don't count on it. If you want to comment on any of this, then you're really a sick person, because it's all been said before. I'd rather talk about pleasant storm stories, frankly, than anything else. Axelrod says Hurricane Sandy could hurt Obama by lowering turnout. Covered that. From the Chicago Sun-Times, researchers break open voting machines in test of security. Using a straightened paper clip, John Warner needed fewer than 10 seconds to pop a crucial component out of the touchscreen voting machine. The simple maneuver exposed the green circuit board, opening the machine to electronic sabotage that could steal or alter votes cast on it, said Warner, a security researcher at Argonne National Laboratory in the suburban Lamont. You can reach inside and do lots of damage pretty easily, agreed Warner's boss, Roger Johnson, which they said illustrates a weakness that could be exploited to attack the commonly used machines. Let's hope there's no copper in there, because the copper thieves are liable to steal voting machines. And so, therefore, we are now learning that with a paperclip, you could break into a voting machine and change the vote. Well, that's nothing new in Chicago. I mean, in Chicago, you didn't need a paperclip. You need a $5 bottle of cherry brandy in the 30s and 40s. What do you need a paperclip for? Johnson and Warner said they were surprised at how quickly they could gain access to vital parts of the computerized counters. Getting inside the machines allows a hacker to quickly embed a bug, such as an electronic microprocessor that could secretly shift votes cast for one candidate to another candidate listed on the ballot. Those devices could be installed in a minute or so if machines are left accessible at storage facilities between elections. If. Cook County? What do you mean, if? In Cook County, if? Are you kidding me? Are you joking? In Cook County, if? There's an awful lot of paper clips with nothing to do in Cook County. You know, I'm sure they'll be put to good use. 1-855-400-7282. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation. It is the new Savage Nature. The new Savage Nature. It's the new Savage Nature. Bigger, stronger, better. That's my new nature. 132 stations in a week. The show's growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, the storm's throwing things off. Some of the sound we sent up to Dallas got lost in cyberspace, so I have no sound for you today. You know, no clever sound, but no music. I was going to open with Gene Kelly singing in the rain. Okay, I didn't. They didn't get it. But if you care to talk about the news of the day, that I've been mentioning, obviously the disaster is the big deal. And what I'm going to ask you, did they overhype it? It's like Nervous Nellies, the whole nation. Yes, there are problems. But it's no longer a hurricane. It didn't veer off. It went in. It went down. The water went down. It went below. It went up. The tunnels closed. The bridges are closed. The bars are closed. The ice cream parlor's closed. The eye of the monster storm striking southern New Jersey, Boardwalk Empire. The show's getting... I don't know what to make of Boardwalk Empire set in Atlantic City. I love the stage sets. I love the houses in Boardwalk Empire. I wish I could live in a house like that, but you can't find an Irish maid anymore. You know, it's from another era when they were Irish immigrants. They curtsied, they had aprons, they spoke English. It was amazing. Everything was served properly. The children were neat. No child was on Ritalin. There were no drug addict children in those days. Children were polite. They kept their mouths shut. When adults spoke, it was a different universe. So, you know, in a way, it's not. And then Steve Buscemi's clothing is amazing in Boardwalk Empire. Those suits, my God. I love the way they compared. And I'm talking to myself now on The Savage Nation. I don't know if I get into the disaster yet. There's a show on HBO called Boardwalk Empire. I've been up and down with it for 2 years. Well, I can't talk about it. Most of you don't have HBO because you boycott it because it's so vile, so I won't talk about it. Libya Gate got finished already. No one's interested. Polling machines, clips, that already. You know, if this keeps up, I'm going to have to read from my book, Train Tracks, because it's an amazing book. What? It's an amazing book. It's not even published yet. But if I tell you, if I get into this book, you're not going to want me to stop. The opening chapter is I Really Was Poor. It's not bad. It's a two-page chapter. Then Train Tracks, when I attended grade school in Bronx, New York in the 40s, 50s. Interesting stuff. The nightclub story is good about the gangster we knew. The porch. The uncle who was a Democrat operative. I didn't even know he was in politics. No, it's an interesting book. Boy in the Basement, Boy in the River. If you want me to read from my book, Train Tracks, on this nice, wet, rainy night when the family is gathered around the radio like in days gone by, give me a call at 1-855-400-SAVAGE, although I will tell you you can't get through now. So I'll take a caller, and we'll see what happens, okay? KSFO San Francisco. Nicole, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Michael. Welcome back. I'm calling in reference to a question you threw out to the listeners a couple of nights ago. You asked us if any of us have ever been polled, and I've been polled on several different occasions, Michael, and the calls are very disturbing to me because the pollers are leading me down a particular path, or they attempt
like
pollsters
are like stalkers in the way they set up questions.
Absolutely.
You feel like they're undressing you with their questions.
Well, the most recent one was last Thursday evening. I received a poll, and I believe the reason I'm being polled is because I'm a woman who is a business owner in the East San Francisco Bay.
What did they do that offended you in a nutshell? What was the most offensive part of the poll question?
Yeah. So the poll question was, don't I believe that a woman's right to choose is the most important
issue? Oh, God, again. I never heard an election. The world's burning. The Islamists are burning things down. We got sleepers all over America. We got an incompetent idiot in the CIA, another idiot in the Defense Department, another liar at every level of government, and they turned the whole thing into women's bodies. It's unbelievable to me. Okay, well, we covered that. I can't take it. I'm not talking about abortion or about birth control. I'm not interested in it, frankly. 1-855. I see I'm getting it down. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. That opens up a line for somewhere in America. What do we have now? Was watching drones he knew. KLIF in Dallas. It's Angela on the Savage Nation. Angela, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's an honor to speak with you. I just had a question. I'm speculating that if Romney wins, and his, let's say he wins, and his term is a bust, where will that leave the United States?
You mean if he wins, and if he wins, and it's a lackluster, middle of the road, do nothing administration?
Exactly. I speculate that.
I have not pondered that, but my gut feeling is that I've looked at. I don't want to run the guy down. I hope he wins because we do need a change from the change we've had. Let me put it to you that way. If I writing the campaign slogan, it would be, let's have a change from the change. But by what I've seen, who he's going to point, they're all middle of the road, like Democrat Demicans. He's not picking conservatives for anything. Who will Romney put into the Secretary of the Treasury, for example? You know it's going to be another Wall Street gangster. Is that correct?
I'm hoping it's not.
Who's he going to pick? What's he going to pick? Ralph Nader for the Secretary of Treasury? No. It'll be another Wall Street insider gangster. Okay, so that's, put an X through that. Who's he going to make Defense Secretary? Another Leon Panetta? Or is he going to pick some war hero who understands what the plight is of the men on the ground in combat zones? I don't know. Why have they excommunicated Alan West, one of our greatest Americans? Why has Alan West been basically pushed out of the Republican Party? Because he's a Tea Party candidate. They hate the Tea Party. You know that.
I agree. I would love to see Alan West.
That's the best we're going to get now, is middle of the road, but it's better than communist road. Middle of the road is better than so left of the road that you don't know where he's taking us. In hurricane, was watching drones, he knew, oh boy, voting machines. Lack of strike force impeded Benghazi response. As U.S. Africa Command waited for any order to rescue Americans on September 11th at the besieged consulate and CIA annex in Benghazi was missing a key unit that the Pentagon gives every regional four-star commander, an emergency strike force. No one cares about that. It's go Giants. That's what they care about. The morons almost burnt the city down in San Francisco. The idiots. Bottles were thrown. The morons set police cars on fire. That's the America of today. Sometimes I feel like I'm living in Uruguay, and it's like everyone's a soccer fan but me. I'll be right back. We're playing Hawaiian music because, first of all, I'd like to be there right now, truthfully. But I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to go in January.
Hello, maybe. This is the Savage Day. I don't know what have a canned piece in here. This is Michael Savage. I guess they're trying to put in a canned piece while I'm talking. The phone number, you can't get through the show now because 855-400-SAVAGE. Everybody in San Francisco have been waiting for me to come back to the station. Texas, you name it. Huge stations. Detroit, JR, KVI, Seattle. No one from Florida, though. I mean, I once had a huge audience on FTL in Florida. They were all asleep. They used to listen earlier, but it was an older crowd. And, you know, they get up early. They got to go to the early bird at 5 in the morning to take the sweet and low and the toast in their raincoats. In Florida, the dinners, the early bird dinners, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they're home already 4:30 with the sweet and lows, the salt shaker, the pepper shaker, the chicken wings. I knew a Chinese guy opened up a buffet in Florida. I knew he wouldn't last. He was an immigrant. He didn't understand the area. He had no idea that if you open an all-you-can-eat buffet in Boca Raton, forget about it. You'd last about he lasted 3 months. Very sad. Because these people come in with a vengeance. The raincoat with styrofoam interiors, with pockets, special pockets that open up for the chicken wings on one side, for the dim sum on the other. But I don't know. I don't want to do storm stuff. NIS Norfolk, not a caller. FTL Florida, they're asleep. They think it's tomorrow. Seattle, nobody. Detroit, JR, nobody. Dallas, KLIF, nobody. KSFO, drones. I don't know if I could talk about Libya Gate anymore. What more can we say? The media hasn't done their job on Libya Gate. They're not going to do their job. The media is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Obama machine. What do you want from me? What do you want from me that the Fourth Estate has become the fifth column? They should all be arrested. These communists in the media should be arrested for what they're doing to this country. I see them. I don't know how they shave in the morning. I don't know how they look themselves in the eye. I'm not going to get angry. Because I get angry, it doesn't do me any good. No, the media hasn't done their job on Libya. The president should be ashamed of himself for what he's done. People are dead. The embassy is burnt to the ground. They're enabling Islamists throughout the Middle East with their fraudulent Arab Spring, which I called Arab Winter, a month or a week after it occurred. Because I know history and I knew what was going to happen.
These people never went through the Reformation. They're still living in the Middle Ages. They're not ready for democracy. Their idea of democracy is to make you submit. Their religion makes you submit. Their religion is about submission. Their religion means submission, if you read Arabic. So their world is you submit or you submit them. And if we have the most powerful military on earth that has basically been turned into a capon under this Fugazi in the White House, we are submitting to them. They're not submitting to us. So what do you want me to talk about here? You want me to make it up? I can't make it up. It's heartbreaking to watch what this guy gets away with, because Mr. Romney is the nice deacon from the church. The good man Romney, the nice man Romney, the middle of the road Romney. Oh, Obama's a nice man. He's got a nice family. He just has a different philosophy. No, that's not what we want to hear, Mitt. Take the mitts off, Mitt. You're getting punched with bare knuckles and you're using mitts. You got 16-ounce gloves on. You're getting bloodied by this guy, Mitt. Take the mitts off, Mitt, if you really want to win. Open up on him. It's the last round. Any trainer would say, open up, Mitt. Open up. Let your body flow. Throw the punches, Mitt. Take the gloves off, Mitt. But there's no point in talking about it. No attention whatsoever to Libya Gate. Nothing. Zero. Go, Giants. Giants, yay. I'm glad there's so many sports fans in America. I recognize there's a large body of sports fans. In fact, there are members of my family are sports fans, and they're intelligent. And the country's in trouble, though, right now. And then they're burning the streets down over a sporting event. I thought I was living in Uruguay or Mexico City. So we can talk about it if you want. I get excited, I guess, if I really want to get excited. I'm not going to. All memories are traces of tears, Chinese proverb. That's my dedication in the train tracks. All memories are traces of tears. When you say memory, basically, you know, when you say you have a family memory, it's all tears. All family memories, even if they're good, are sort of, there's pathos in them. Do you know that? I was waiting on the book to read it to you because I was going to wait until after the election, because I knew you wouldn't be interested before. It's an election season. It's Romney. The people are going crazy from it. No wonder they went crazy and burned cars after the ball game. But I don't know if I could wait till after the election. I'm so tired waiting for the election to end. I may have to start reading for my book. Okay, Sam WFTW in Pittsburgh. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to have you back. The hiatus was actually too long. I've listened to you since back in the Bay Area days when you were filling in for Wattenberg.
Excuse me, I never filled in for that cretin.
Well, the thing is that you're our prophet, and I called in tonight to tell you, please, he crushed him on the three debates. He did what he had to do. He came out and he.
All right, so you're upset that I'm being too tough on Romney.
He did what he had to do.
So you think that Romney's middle of the road approach is working?
Yes, indeed. He's taken the whole country. He's 2 points up in Ohio.
Well, see, Sam, here's the problem. If Romney, here's my theory. You ready for my theory? If Romney had more guts and was more brazen and took the gloves off and had attacked Obama when he could have, he'd be up 10 points, not 2 points. And it wouldn't be so close. And when you have communist street radicals, as those surrounding Obama, don't suddenly think that 2 points up is going to win the election. They are rigging this election from top to bottom.
It's a godsend that he's made all the gaffes he has done over in Benghazi.
Yes, that's right. He should have been forced to resign for what he's done. Can you imagine if a Republican president was running against a Democrat and the Republican had permitted Libya Gate to emerge? Do you think that he would be only 2 points behind right now?
No, he would be destroyed.
He would be burnt toast. By the way, where are you listening to this show? You confused me. You said the old days. You're in Pittsburgh?
Not via a megaphone. Like the gal you just talked to with Texas.
Wait, Sam, I mean, Sam, what city are you calling from?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And and we're going to take this state. You should, the ground game here is phenomenal.
You're not, wait a minute. You say you're in Pittsburgh, PA. You moved, I'm just curious, you moved from the Bay Area to Pittsburgh?
I took my 8-year-old 7 years out of California because it was the language barrier, the school system.
I was wondering why, because I lived in Pittsburgh once. I love the city. It's beautiful. It's got the bridges. The people are extremely friendly. And yes, they do speak English in most stores in Pittsburgh. I agree with you.
And the food is good too.
Good food. No, I could see why people leave California with children. I can see it's a third world nation. It's very difficult unless you're very wealthy. The children are subjected to abuse in the public schools. No question about it. I am so glad you followed the show to Pittsburgh and found me. I am so glad. I didn't recognize the signal, you know. All right, we're on a roll here. So far, nothing has broken. So far, we have no music, no sound. We have no sound bites came through from San Francisco to Dallas because of the storm. And what else didn't we get? We had an opening. That didn't work. I was going to open with Gene Kelly. I'm still getting my sea legs here on the new show. Wait till you see how the show grows and how big it's going to get. You got to play with me. I mean, the fact of the matter is this is a shakedown cruise. I feel like I'm driving an 18-cylinder car and there's a little sputtering in the engine and one wheel is loose. But as soon as this 18-cylinder engine starts to hum, you're not going to believe this show. That's why I'm telling you it's very nice to be here. I'm glad I'm here. Let me ask you something. I don't have any open lines, do I? Does anybody want me to read some of the short stories from train tracks a little bit in between now and the election, or do you want me to wait till after the election? No, you can't get through. I see that. Okay, here we go. Fort Lauderdale, FTL or FLT, LSMFT, WLSMFT in Florida. John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I just want to say welcome back. We missed you.
Wait, where are you? Are you in Florida on FTL?
Yeah, I'm in FTL. I'm in West Palm.
And you're still up this late at night?
Well, I'm 50 years old. Yeah, I'm still up. I thought
they had a mandatory street closing in West Palm at 9 o'clock at night.
Well, yeah, they usually do, but there's still some of us that stay up late. You know what I mean?
I am so glad that you followed me to a later hour. So, what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk about. I just spoke to my friend Bill. He's on Long Island, New York. We'll say about 7:30.
Right.
See how he was, and he's like, everything was fine over there.
There you go. That's all I do is shut the lights off, and the homeless are off the streets. The rain cleaned the streets of New York for the first time in 50 years.
The streets are clean.
Yes, the streets are clean for the first time in 50 years.
I know.
Look at this. Here's a new poll. You ready? Gallup says Romney up 52 to 45 among early voters. But it don't mean anything. This machine from Chicago is so dangerous that you're going to start counting like you won a bet at a paramutual before the race even started. You got to be nuts to do that. The horses haven't even run out of the gate yet.
Trust me.
The horses. Let me ask you something about Florida. You had nothing there, a little water, right?
A little water.
That's it. I read the Miami Herald online. Nothing. A little flooding on the causeway and this and that. Miami Beach had a little water. What, so the druggies can't go out to a nightclub tonight? I'm supposed to cry over that?
They can't get their pizza tonight.
The drunkies can't get their crack delivered on time. rehab. I mean, it's gonna be horrible tomorrow in Manhattan.
I'll find out. I got boots on the ground.
Let me ask you something. The mayor shut the lights off in New York. Are the lights off in Gracie Mansion, or is he still serving the Jeroboams?
He's got the Jeroboams going. He's got the Jeroboams.
He's got a little generator going in there.
Oh, of course he does.
Let's not be glib about it. The fact of the matter is, the financial district was flooded, subway tunnels were flooded, power cut off to 1 million people. So the junkies are not going to have clubs to go to tonight.
I know. And what are they going to do? They're not going to make.
What are they
going
to do? They're going to stay home and talk to each other without an electronic device. Does it affect electronic, like Twitter people who only communicate by twittering?
I think they're going to have a problem with that, yeah.
Can't you go to a church and talk to people with candles or something? or go into a bar and have a conversation, look at someone's eyes with a camera?
Well, that might be difficult.
Yeah. I mean, do you think they made more of it than it actually is?
I actually think they made more of it. I've been in contact, and what I've been hearing down here in Florida
no,
on the
thank
radio.
God. Thank God. No, truthfully, there is a storm. New York's in darkness. They shut mass transit. Every bridge in New York is closed. The gangsters of Wall Street couldn't work today. They couldn't grift any money. Broadway, the plays are closed. That's a real loss. A play. Have you ever been to a play in your entire adult life?
I've never been to a play in my adult life.
I don't understand who still goes to a play. When you have, like, TV at night in your bed, why would you go to a play?
Well, I don't watch TV anymore.
You need to smell it. You need the smell of the perfume in front of you badly, that badly? I don't know why anyone would go to a play. I gave up on all of it. Opera, I don't go to. I went, you know, when I was younger. Symphony, I can't stand. I'd rather listen to a CD. It's the Savage Nation. It is 47 minutes after the hour. If you care to call the show, forget about it. You can't get through. I'll be right back.
I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again.
So far, we have big power outages. Thousands of Con Edison customers lost power due to the now downgraded Hurricane Sandy throughout New York City and Westchester County. Now, the reason Con Ed pulled the plug is because, quote, the storm surge threatened to flood the underground electrical delivery system. You don't want that to happen because with water and electric, I think you even learned that in the first grade. You don't take a hairdryer into a bathtub. Same principle. And to leave the power on underground with water surging in is like a hairdryer in a bathtub. So, okay. So what are the people going to do? They can't listen to the radio. They can't watch television. The computers are out. That's interesting. So what are they doing? No communication. They have to sit and talk to each other in a house. That's a nightmare. There's going to be a lot of mental problems in New York City over the next few days when families have to get together and look at each other and talk. What would you like to talk about? Trickle-down tyranny? That's a loaded statement. That's a heck of a statement. It's a statement that's under the disguise of fighting terrorism. Obama signed into law the National Defense Authorization Act, giving the federal military the authority to arrest any American citizen. With this unprecedented seizure of power, the most divisive and dangerous president in U.S. history eliminated both the Posse Comitatus Act and the writ of habeas corpus. Even the ACLU was shocked when he did this, as was his own Justice Department. So we now live in an Argentina of the 1970s where the military under Leon Panetta has almost supreme power over anyone in this country. But Obama said, don't worry, I won't use this power. Should you believe him? I don't believe so. The NDAA is the most anti-freedom act ever signed into American law, and the complicit media let it go almost unnoticed, as did Mitt Romney. I wrote about this on the back cover of my book, Trickle Down Tyranny. I made a big issue of it over the last 9 months. It was signed December 31, 2011. Why has Romney not brought up the NDAA? I mean, you wouldn't expect Candy Crawley or Bob Schieffer or any of the other shills for the Democrat Party to bring it up, but Romney could have brought it up. I guess the people wouldn't have cared. The people are so dumb, they wouldn't have even related to it. Truthfully, maybe Romney's campaign is smarter than I give them credit for. You know, let's give them credit. They're running a very middle-of-the-road campaign for fear they'll scare the women. Women don't like angry men, so he's got to be extra nice, a nice man. I noticed they took Ann off the campaign trail when I complained about her. Remember when she cut him off a few times about 6 weeks ago? I said she's got to stop it. She was like overriding him. They took her out of the picture. Well, who else has been removed? You don't see Michelle? The women are out of the picture. The children are out of the picture. And there's finally the men, mano a mano, finally there. So we're like voting on which guy is, likely to save America, blah, blah, blah. Here we go again. And look, from the point of view of national security, you got to vote for Romney. And women, by the way, are more interested in national security than you may think. Women are naturally protective, like they protect the cubs. And they look around, they know Obama's a complete incompetent. Oh, yeah, I killed Osama bin Laden. And you let the embassy burn to the ground. And you let the country be infiltrated by sleeper cells, and you did the apology tour, and they know Romney somehow will protect them better. The women are definitely moving towards Romney on that level alone, and they don't trust Obama. He's sneaky. They see sneaky, untrustworthy. They got it. They saw it with the debate one. And then debate two with Candy Crowley and three with Schieffer. So, look, anything could happen. We don't know how it's going to work out. Now, tonight's the storm. Tomorrow's more storm. This storm is different. That storm is different. Sandy in New York. Hurricane crane collapse in Manhattan. You know, there are other stories out there. And, you know, there's one that bothers me. I have a minute left in the hour already. The father of the children killed by the nanny sent a tweet that bothered me. We're obviously heartbroken. What kind of tweet? All right, so he's a little upset. I don't understand that. You take a look at the nanny's eyes and lips. I wouldn't let her watch my dog. I saw a picture of that face with her holding the children. She had hate on her face. This is way before she killed him. Who would let a person like that near their children? I wouldn't let my dog Teddy. I wouldn't let her walk Teddy. I'd fear he'd come back devoured. Terrible. It's the worst story I've seen in my modern life. The single, like, worst family story ever. How could she butcher two children like this? There's something more to it. My immediate guess was she had the purple fingernails. It looked to me like she was on drugs. I don't know. There's no other explanation for it. It's like she went bad in New York City, got in with a bad crowd. Like a crack. Something's wrong here. I don't understand how a nanny butchers two children like this. I can't. I'm out already. Out in 10 seconds. It's the Savage Nation. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. I'll be back for another hour. Hour right here. Right here on the Savage Nation. 855-400-7282.
Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. I would like to hear Singing in the Rain, which I asked for. So why don't you play Gene Kelly, Singing in the Rain, to set the mood. I'll take a juice cleanser after the show. Idiots, detox. America's obsessed. They use drugs all night, and they detox in the morning. All night long, they're snorting like drugs. In the morning, they're like vegans and doing a juice fast. My mother lived to 88. She ate meat. Plenty of meat. Veggie-based body cleansers. It's like Bloomberg was just up there with the emergency speech. He's giving up bottles of water. As long as they're not 32 ounces, I guess they're legal. God forbid you should get over a 32-ounce bottle of water. You're liable to be arrested by a cop in New York who thinks that you drank a Pepsi instead. I don't know if this storm was overhyped or what. It's like a nervous ninny, the whole thing. I can't imagine what would happen if, God forbid, you know what I mean? God forbid. It's not over yet. I understand that. I'm not downplaying it yet. But I know about the government in general. They're grandstanders and they panic people. Every second, people were inside with candles and like wicks. They bought wicks and rice. Every apartment's got like a bag of rice. So everyone needs a fruit cleanse tonight. They have to detox. What do you want to talk about? I don't know if I can do this. What's there to say in a storm? That's for a guy with galoshes on Fox News to stand there in Atlantic City. Steve Buscemi's shoe collection, I heard, got washed away. No, look, it's pretty bad. You can't downplay it. Heavy rainfall, a lot of water running through the streets of Atlantic City. They shut the power off in New York. You know, you can make a joke of it up to a point. I'm trying to lighten things up a bit. You know, but I mean, they made it sound like a tsunami was hitting New York City. Like a tsunami was going to wipe everything out. And meanwhile, Obama's the luckiest man in the history of the presidency. Libya Gate is the biggest scandal of our lifetime. Much bigger than Watergate. Much bigger than Watergate. And of course, because of the storm, they can make believe it's not important anymore. That's all. Nurse injects lethal dose of coffee and milk into patient's IV drip. I never saw anything like this. The madness everywhere, from hospitals to nannies. What to mayor's offices, to the presidency, it seems everyone's crazy. except me. Superstorm Sandy batters the East Coast shoreline. And what can I say about it? Nothing. What can I say that you haven't heard already 1,000 times? The water came over the seawall in Battery Park. You got a flashlight. The bars are closed. The electric's off in New York. It's not a radio topic. So I'd rather stick to politics. New York City's gone dark. So what? The drug addicts can't get their fix. The junkies can't go to the dance clubs tonight. The sex maniacs are going to have to stay home, right, with a Bible tonight. They have to get like, you know, they don't even have Bibles anymore in their houses. They don't even know which way to turn. They're climbing the walls. They have to read like a Buddhist tractate. He who chases love affairs and fame is like a man who walks in the wind with a candle in front of his face. Eventually he will be burned. I read it. The Buddhist tractates are beautiful. Romney up 52 to 45 among early voters. Massive cover-up over Libya attack. I'm reading from the Drudge Report. You want me to go to my website? I'll go to michaelsavage.com. All day long stories, and he's back with more fight and more truth. Champion for America's borders, language, and culture, the Savage Nation, hosted by me. Monster storm Sandy slams ashore. That's not news. The last Frankenstorm that hit was the 1938 Northeaster. I don't like when people say Nor'easter. Where'd they get that from, Nor'easter? That is so déclassé. It's, what do you mean, Nor'easter? No one uses that phraseology anymore, Nor'easter. Beyond impeachment, Obama treasonist over Benghazi. Shocking health service. Aspirin may help treat some colon cancers. Obama accepts Osama bin Laden donations. That's from WorldNet Daily. Obama resorts to insults despite 2008 lament. HMS Bounty sinks off Carolina coast, 2 crew missing. That was a gorgeous ship. I loved that boat as a boater. Wow, what a repro that was. Why would they take it out in a storm like this, 90 miles southeast of Hatteras? It's like going out insanity. I don't understand it. I'm a boater. The first rule of boating is you don't go out in bad weather. That's rule number one. Why were they taking the ship from Maine to Florida in weather like this? And these guys that come down off helicopters. I love Alaska State Troopers on Nat Geo. But I'm sort of against the channel right now because of the bias towards Obama with the raid coming up, that they turn him into a great American, you know, war hero. The HMS Bounty, 180-foot, 3-mast tall ship, was last marked by 90 miles south of Hatteras. Ship was sunk on Monday. Yes, awful. The 14 is going to be abandoned. They found the dead ones. Replica of the Bounty. I love that ship. Did you see that Bounty in the movie? It was, what movie was that in? Which one was that? The Mel Gibson version or the other one? Did you like The Mutiny on the Bounty with Charles Laughton, Mel Gibson, or Marlon Brando? Who was the best Captain Bligh? Brando, you can't beat Brando as Captain Bligh. He was the best. Gibson was pretty good. Charles Laughton, I didn't go for him, really. Even though it was the black and white, who could relate to it? Eh. It was all over breadfruit. You don't even know what the Bounty was sent for. Breadfruit for slaves. Did you know that? I'm a student of these things. They were sent, the whole ship, the whole purpose was to bring slave food back for the evil slaveholders. Did you know that? The entire reason for the Bounty's voyage to Tahiti was to get breadfruit to bring it back to the Caribbean so they could have cheap food for slaves. You didn't know that, right? Horrible. Horrible, the chain of fit. Thing like steerage class food. So what's in the news there? Nothing. Again, storm all night long. Tomorrow, I can't wait for the morning shows with galoshes standing in the wind. All right, there's. I hope it goes and blows off, veers into Lake Erie. It did hit, though. It finally hit. I never thought it would even. I thought it was going to veer. Usually it makes for land, and at the last minute, it shoots back out into the Atlantic Ocean. And like 6 whales are like to jump under the water. Why is Romney up 52 to 45 among early voters? That's bewildering. With how's this happening? Is Romney running a good campaign, actually, when you think about that? Because to me, it's too mild. But then I'm more conservative than you might believe, to be honest with you. So far, he said nothing conservative in his entire campaign. But just not being a communist and a leftist, I guess, is enough for most people. Women do not like angry men, so he's doing the right thing by whispering and being a nice guy. Jobs, a chicken in every pot. Well, that's the difference between the two campaigns, to be honest with you. Romney is promising a chicken in every pot, and Obama's promising pot in every chicken. I mean, that to me is the difference between the two campaigns. When you analyze it, although it's sarcastic, it's true. Think about it. Romney is saying a chicken in every pot, and Obama's promising a pot in every chicken, a pot for every chicken, or a pot in every chicken. The difference between the Romney vote and the Obama vote, it was described in my show a month ago as follows. The Romney voters signed the check on the front. The Obama voters signed the check on the back. But that was too hard for most people to understand. This is easier. Romney says a chicken in every pot, and Obama says pot in every chicken. Not funny? I think it's funny. I think it's very funny, very creative. The best I can do, pardon me. So what's in the news? I already gave you the news. If you're calling from KSFO, KLIF, WJR, KVI, FTL, NIS, or any other station in the savage list of 140-some-odd affiliates in only a week, I thank you very much for listening to the program. It's beautiful to have all these old and new callers. And the show is bigger, stronger, better. You know my voice sounds better. I was plagued with weak technology in the old operation. Tinny, very tinny, and I was edited constantly, cut to ribbons. You probably never heard an entire paragraph of mine in the last 10 years on the other, right? Not one statement went out clean. Everything was like cut. Every statement butchered. So now you can hear everything I'm saying, which is very nice. I'm looking here, news, flight. They cancel all the flights. So people are sitting around. What do you want to talk about? Got great callers. All right, Irving, WFTL in Florida. FTL, Florida. Irving, you waited up for me. Thanks for calling.
I'm here.
What's on your mind, Irving?
And I have to say it's an honor. It's an honor
look,
to
let me set the record. Look, Irving, you're not a new listener, right? You're an old listener?
You don't even want to know how old I am. But
okay, not only, I don't mean your chronological age. How many years have you been listening to my show?
I'd say about 10.
On FTL or you moved from somewhere?
I move around. I don't want the cops to find me. I'm only kidding you. But I don't want to take up your time.
No, take up my time. Here's the rules of the road. Irving, if you've been listening to me, I am not one of these new thin-skinned talk show hosts who have a high school education and need you to say it's an honor. Leave that for Wallbanger and for the others who need to have their ego boosted. It's not an honor. Without you, I'd have no show. Don't you understand the callers of the whole show? Guys like Wallbanger need you to say it's an honor. It boosts their ego. I'm glad you like the show, but it's not an honor. It's what I do for a living. Without callers, there's no talk radio. Anyway, Irving, what are you calling about?
Okay. I want to collect my thoughts, and I don't want to confuse you.
That makes no sense. You want to collect your thoughts and not confuse me, or you want to collect your thoughts and not be confused?
And not be confused.
All right, so already I got already a live one. All right, so what's on your mind?
Your listening audience must know that when Obama stands on the podium and the thousands of placards say forward, that's a synonym for radical communism.
I know that. I know that. In New York, when I was a boy, there was a Jewish newspaper called The Forwards. You know that, don't you? It was a socialist newspaper.
Yeah, The Forward.
Right, and there was a joke in New York before my time where they used to joke, they would say, he reads the forwards backwards. You know what that means, right?
It's a Yiddish language newspaper.
Yes, that's right. And it was a communist newspaper. The word forward meant socialism. Of course, it always did. But look, how many times have I said that Obama's brain is a lifetime leftist operative? Know that he is. He's a lifetimer. How they get away with it is beyond belief. They're running an openly socialist campaign. Openly socialist.
The people to know that it means communist.
The people don't know anything. All they know is Jersey Shore and who hit a ball. That's all.
Now the people that are listening to you.
Irving, I'm thrilled that you listened. I'm thrilled. I went through the break already. Irving got me so confused. And I knew what he was going to say, but I let him go because I needed from that age bracket in that particular... 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Yesterday was such a horrible day in San Francisco. I went to McDonald's with the dog. And I got to tell you something. I'm going to go a one-minute experience. You'd say, oh, famous talk shows, they could eat anywhere. I like Burger King with the dog once in a while. I went to McDonald's. There were 12 cars at 3 o'clock. I didn't even want to wait on the line. I figured it would be a quick meal. So I said, okay, now you got a choice. You could leave and go. So I walked in. Now the line's 10 foot deep. And it's all guys from a moving truck who just got out of San Quentin. They were given like a post-jail job as moving men. So I'm standing there with the dog, number one, and these guys are all just out of San Quentin, and they're ordering ahead of me. It was quite an experience. But you see, I have such empathy that I could actually relate to guys who just came out of prison saying, you know what freedom these guys must be feeling to be able to order their own food? I ordered 2 fish burgers, no cheese. I ordered myself a sirloin. It was amazing what I ordered. I got to tell you, you have no idea how good junk food can be. I got the dog 2 kitty burgers. They're $1 a piece. No salt and pepper. No pickle. No sauce. The dog loves it. Eats the bun. Eats the cheese. Eats the thing. Why? Why shouldn't I give a dog that for a buck? It was a phenomenal lunch. I enjoyed it more than any restaurant I've been in the last 2 months. There's some freedom in it. There's a certain almost perverse freedom in eating in a fast food joint for a guy like me. I'm so tired of tablecloths and forks. I'll be right back. Gallup shock. Romney up 52% to 45% among early voters. That's amazing. That's amazing. But that's not a lot. It's not enough of a sample yet. So I'm not going to, you know, what is this, a big story? Yeah, I don't know. Early voters, schmoters, you don't know. Can't we just have the election and then count the votes? This is all media hype every day, up and down and down and up and up and down. 5 people are dead from the storm. Doug, you have the report. I can't get on the New York Post website. Con Ed shuts off power in Manhattan, that we know. Water level at Battery Park reaches 11 feet. Reading the Drudge Report. Somehow he can post. How's that possible? How do they post if the electric's out? How do people can still post? I can still do a show. Are you listening to me in New York, anybody? No. Not yet on, really, in a big station there. Will be soon, I guess, I hope. But you can hear me in surrounding areas. You can hear me in... How about WPRO in Providence, Rhode Island? Is the pizzeria still open up there? They can still make anything in that neighborhood up there, PRO? Anything on the oven? The oven on for a little pasta tonight? Wheelchair rolls downhill into ditch during nursing home fire. Crazy stories. I don't know if I can take this news business. I'm not in the news business when you think about it. I'm a commentator. A night like tonight is a little crazy. I've got to keep you entertained. Storm. It slammed ashore. East Coast took a beating, but the surge is basically the monster part of it is over. It's been downgraded from hurricane status already. The streets are cleaner tomorrow. The winds are going to hit New York City from... But New York's not the whole country. It's the center of the media, you know. But L.A., there's no storm. San Francisco, there's no storm. Denver, there's no storm. Let's say in flyover country, there's no storm. The rest of the country has no storm. Well, when we got hit by a storm, they cared about it in New York. I had trees knocked down last year. No one said anything. My boat got, like, almost swept out to sea. I'll read you some news. Educators and parents split on trend to ban Halloween. That's a good story. I don't like Halloween myself. And I've gotten slammed once for, you know, why isn't Bloomberg against Halloween? He's against soda. Why isn't he against, like, candy? It's a pagan holiday, that is true. I'm not into that part of it, but that's all it is. It's a religious holiday in this country. It's like witchcraft. But because of the safety element alone and the bad food, I believe that the Halloween's a questionable issue. Some of them are banning it. Some are saying that students can't afford costumes, there's an economic disparity. Oh, here we go again. Oh, we have students that aren't able to participate for religious or culture. Here we go again, the Muslims again. They object to Halloween, then I'm for it. One, two, three. If it's already based upon what, it violates Sharia law, then I'm going to get a costume for Wednesday night. I think I'm going to protest by getting a Halloween costume for Wednesday night. Well, I'm gonna, religious reasons they're banning it? I thought it was because the candy was ruining their teeth. And kids were like, you know, getting like razor Savage. Blades in their ass. It is the Savage Nation. We are following the post-tropical storm Sandy, which has already blown its stack. It's passed through the area. Bloomberg gave the speech already. You got the reporters in the galoshes in Atlantic City, the same picture of the flood. Our 5 people did die, but they made it into like an atomic, you know, explosion was going to hit. I never saw such a panic over a storm. So there's another topic here. They want to ban Halloween. Now, on the face of it, you say, well, okay, wait, let's analyze this. Why do they want to ban it? Over the candy? No. Why? In Portland, Oregon, moronic principal Brian Innocent told parents he banned Halloween because he worried that students whose culture or religion didn't allow them to celebrate would feel excluded from the others, especially as more and more immigrants with different cultures arrive in this country. The moron principal said, we're pushing our traditions on an ever-changing population. Well, idiot principal Brian Anderson, this country was known as a melting pot, where ever-changing populations became Americans, moron. Americans were not turned into the countries of origin, idiot. And so if the child doesn't want to celebrate Oregon because his sacred religion doesn't want to celebrate, I almost said celebrate Portland. That's a religion unto itself. If the child can't celebrate Halloween because his superior culture or religion doesn't permit it, so he doesn't celebrate it. But you don't take it away from the kids who enjoy it, moron. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're taking something away. You're taking something away, moron principal. Look who's teaching today. Told parents he banned Halloween because he worried that students whose culture or religion didn't allow them to celebrate would feel excluded from the others. Well, let them feel excluded, especially as more and more immigrants with different cultures. So what do you want us to celebrate, the Day of the Dead? Is that your point, Brian? In order to be multicultural, have the American children celebrate the Day of the Dead. They can go lay down in a graveyard next to deceased ancestors. Would that be multicultural enough for you, Principal Anderson? See, this is the insanity. Now, I would say if you're going to ban Halloween, it's over the candy and things of that nature, and the fools who are contaminating the apples with, even in my day, you had idiots putting razor blades in apples. You don't bring home Halloween food and eat it. One neighbor gave everyone a shiny quarter, a shiny dime. That was a gift that made sense in my day. Who wanted candy corn? I never ate that garbage. Protest. So they want to take the fun away. It's not a religious holiday. It's a pagan holiday. Now they're taking that away. You can call on it if you wish. It is Satan worshiping. There's no question about it. There is no question that it's Satan worship. There's no question. But that's America today. It's basically Satan worship. It's the only holiday they're allowed to have. Now they're taking that away. Why? Because people from Islamic countries don't like Halloween. It's their problem. Who's telling them to celebrate it? They don't have to put on an idiot costume. In addition to cultural, religious, and cost concerns, they blame the ban on the federal No Child Left Behind Act, apparently claiming the holiday could take valuable time away from preparing for standardized tests. Oh, that's rubbish. That's rubbish. Every other day, the kids are out of school in California. Every time I go to a mall, every Monday, this kid's walking around with their parents, like little drug addicts with the kids on Ritalin, the kids on Ritalin, every other day. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. What's this now? California woman bitten by shark off Hawaii beach. Case of rapist seeking visitation of child he fathered during assault reaches high court. What? Rapist? What is this? Rapist seeking visitation of child he fathered during assault? You're kidding me. Child he fathered after raping a 14-year-old girl has gone to the state highest court? Why wasn't he executed? The girl was 14 when she was impregnated by then 20-year-old Jamie Melendez, who pleaded guilty last year to 4 counts of rape of a child. Oh, God, what an insanity here. See, this is why the death penalty is an important tool that we have to get the vermin out of society. Why do we even have to face a case like this, other than the fact that you have insane lawyers who would take such a case? A man rapes a 14-year-old girl, now he wants the right to visit the child? I never saw anything like this. A hearing to decide if the rapist gets visitation rights is set for November 6th in family court, so it's expected Judge Botsford will make a decision before then. I never saw anything like this. Is the country getting crazier? Am I getting more? Is it me? Is it the time I was brought up in was saner? Is that what's wrong? And that everything's insane now. I never saw anything like this. A rapist raped a 14-year-old that was not executed. That's number one. Now he gets a lawyer who's been suing, so he has the right to visit the child he fathered. That's a father? The other night I watched a show about a day in the life of a crack addict. I got so angry I wanted to break the television. Again, another Nat Geo pandering to the lowest common denominator. I admit I watched it. I'm in the media, so I could justify watching anything. And that's the funny part about being in the media. I get to justify anything, eating at McDonald's, watching bad television. I could say it's for the show. So I indulge myself, and I watch the show, A Day in the Life of a Crack Addict. I see this guy, like, 28 years old, and he's using crack and heroin. Crack and heroin. And he's a father. And his mother's going to bring his son over. Oh, my son, after he shoots up, after shooting up with smoking crack and shooting up with heroin, the mother brings over the child. Oh, my son, I love you. I had no sympathy for this degenerate. I wanted to see the man treated in the most severe manner. I didn't want to hear about rehab. I didn't want to pay for it. No wonder the country's broke. You know, I don't really know whether Obamacare has more rehab or less. I hope it has less rehab. This is the greatest racket in the history of the country. I'll go into this on another show at another time. This whole thing of rehab. These drug addicts look forward to rehab like a visit to a hotel. They go there to get drugs, number one, and then they come out, they're right back on the drug the next second. It costs, what, $10,000 a week, $10,000 a day? Who is paying for it? We are. Have you ever seen the facilities they have for rehab? The sacred rehab. Oh, Johnny, we really want to get you into rehab. No, I don't want to go, Ma. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're going to intervention. They're going to get him to go to rehab like I care. You know, I have my own solution to this drug problem, but it's along the Malaysian model. I remember when I went to Malaysia about 20 years ago. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I landed at Kuala Lumpur Airport. And you're driving in from the airport, and there's a huge billboard, and it says, dealing drugs in Malaysia is punishable by death. Don't deal drugs. Using drugs in Malaysia is punishable by life in prison. Don't use drugs. That threw quite a damper, I would think, on drug usage and drug dealing. Here we have rehab. Everyone's a victim. He's not a victim. He's a degenerate drug addict. What in the world? How can we afford this, number one? Let's just make it pragmatic. Let us just make it a pragmatic issue. We cannot afford to treat every drug addict in America with rehab. Everyone rehab. Oh, yeah, like it's a badge of honor, rehab. I work every day of my life, don't you? What, do they work? What do they do? Nothing. Where do they get their money from? I don't know. I don't know a society like this cannot go on. That's why it's imploded. Okay, let's not call on this topic. It's just my own thing. KSFO, San Francisco, Rock, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Nice to have you back on the air.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God, and somebody challenging our brain cells. I get tired of the mumbo-jumbo, but I'm going to get right to it.
Yes, sir.
I don't mean to rain on anybody's parade, but the San Francisco Giants aren't my hero. Those two seals over there in Libya and the Benghazi gate, they're real people, and they had real red blood. And they died trying to save that man. Those guys are my heroes.
Well, they are. They're the real heroes of today. And Frank, if we had a commander in chief who had any integrity, he would grant a Congressional Medal of Honor for both of them.
And you know what? They get down. I know you get upset at times, but I'm upset, and I'm upset because they keep saying Romney's a liar, Romney's a liar, Romney's a liar. Well, let's just back up.
Wait. What did Romney ever lie about? He lied about nothing. Obama, every time he opens his mouth, lies about something. Libya Gate is the greatest scandal since Watergate. And the only reason this Fugazi is getting away with it is because the Fourth Estate has become the fifth column. You know I'm right. He owns the media in this country.
Yeah. Well, Joe Biden, he's lying through his teeth when
he
says...
Well, you know, I think Joe Biden is somewhat responsible for Obama's plunging poll numbers. Biden is the greatest disaster to have hit the Obama campaign. In addition to Obama being a deceitful man and a divisive man, Biden's aggression and anger and hostility did not play well with the electorate.
No, it didn't.
Now, Rock, before I depart from you today, you didn't listen to me when I was on the Sacramento station? You didn't catch that one?
I'm pulling you in on channel 560 is where I'm catching you at.
Yeah, no, I'm saying now I'm on KSFO, but all the years I was on the other one, you didn't hear me, right?
Oh, yes, I heard you from Sacramento also.
Oh, so now you switched over to the better station where you can actually hear me.
Sometimes.
You know, it used to be like a shortwave radio listening in Sacramento. I get people,
yeah, but you're people, coming
to... people would come up to me. It was like they were listening to me on shortwave and then with the other station. It was like it was like being in the Soviet Union with a shortwave radio, with like a crystal set. You know, come in, savage, sitting around the crystal radio set. KSMO has some signal now. This station is so powerful at night; it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's good and clear.
You know, hey, Rock, you know, I got to tell you, you know, in 1 week I'm on 132 stations with my new syndicator, Cumulus. It's astounding in 1 week. 132 stations growing every day. And KSFO is my home station, by the way.
But, you know, you have a bully pulpit. Sometimes you don't think you're reaching out and educating the public as much as you do. But I'm telling you, you are, because things are changing. People are starting to hear it.
Rock, have you read my book, Trickle Down Tyranny?
No, sir, I never have.
I want you to stay on the line, and Renee, please take down his name, and we're going to send him a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I'm not selling a book. I want people who are educated to understand how dangerous the socialist states of America have become under this administration. It's not just rhetoric. I mean, hundreds of pages with references. I talk about the NDAA, a country where poverty is rewarded, where success is punished, where our worst enemies are praised and our allies are stiff. Look what I wrote. The military is used as a pawn. Was I wrong when I put that on the back of the book? I said while Obama makes a show of using proud Navy SEALs as a publicity stunt, the overall strength of the military has best been decimated. Our border has descended into chaos, where corporations and cronies made off with all the wealth while the economy flatlined. And that was it. The book was a bestseller. I'm not going to look to get rich from a book. I'm just telling you the information is out there. And this is the most divisive, dangerous administration in my lifetime. That's why I wrote the book. Again, the phone number here, it's pointless for me to give it out because the lines are sold out, 855-400-SAVAGE. We're getting into the rhythm of the show, and we're getting calls from around the country. It's wonderful to hear you from all of your different stations. I have to take a quick break, and I'll be right back, right here on the Savage Nation.
Call Michael right now at 855-400-SAVAGE. That's 855-400-7282.
What country has the most energy resources in the world? Saudi Arabia? Iran? America. America has the richest oil and natural gas resources in the world. But President Obama puts drastic restrictions on our oil and natural gas development. When gas prices went from $1.89 to $3.80, what did he do? He blocked the Keystone Pipeline. He cut leases on federal lands by 50%. We lost millions of jobs. Energy prices soared. The energy we need is right under our feet. It's our energy. It's our opportunity. Liberals hate American energy and restrict it again and again. No more. We must elect pro-energy leaders. Energy is the opportunity. Now is the time. America says now. Go to energyisopportunity.com. It's time for America to be number one in energy. No more restrictions. America says now. Say it with us at energyisopportunity.com.
Paid for by New American Energy Opportunity Foundation.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Look, I'm not going to drop Libya Gate all week. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to talk about it right up to the election. It's the greatest scandal of the Obama administration, which is scandal plagued. Now you say, well, how does he get away with it? I'm going to give you an example. Here's the New York Times tonight, just published at about 8 o'clock Eastern Time by Eric Schmidt, one of their old-time left-wing wobblies. Here's what the headline is. You ready? Libya warnings were plentiful but unspecific. That liar, the father of the dead Navy SEAL, told you the truth. They were begging for support. They had a laser on the mortar position. You liar, you, with the New York Times. You know, they have a long history of it. Going back to the 1930s where they whitewashed Stalin's murders. Interviews suggest that though the State Department received many warnings about the deteriorating situation in Benghazi, none focused on the diplomatic compound that was attacked. Tell that to the father of the dead Navy SEAL. The liars at the New York Times, Michael Gordon, Eric Schmidt, and Michael Schmidt, if there was any justice in this world, there'd be a tribunal, and they'd be tried for crimes against the mindset of the American people. What a bunch of lies this is. What a pack of lies. To cover for the president like this is a crime as far as I'm concerned. What a liar. What a liar. They were begging for support. They were begging for support, and here they're saying there was no specifics. Libya warnings were plentiful but unspecific. I'd say shame on you, Michael Gordon, Eric Schmidt, and Michael Schmidt of the New York Times, but I realize men like you have no shame. You sold your soul to the devil a long time ago, in my estimation. What a bunch of lies this is. Awful. So that explains, for example, how Obama gets away with Libya Gate. In plain English, there's nothing more to be said for it. They're covering for him now. And he's a very lucky man. Obama's the luckiest man on the planet. The storm has almost wiped away Libya Gate. It's almost wiped it away completely. The people don't even know about it anymore. I don't know how they can get away with this. It's bigger than Watergate. They were begging for help. Begging, calling in prayers to please help them. Here you had Americans equipped with M4 rifles and sidearms. The opposition had rocket-propelled grenades, machine guns, mortars, and AK-47s, and they didn't know why they were wiped out. They had no idea. They begged for them to help. Wouldn't help them. So now you know how they get away with it. It deteriorated because Obama let it deteriorate, that's all. He didn't want so-called collateral damage. He didn't want our good friends in Libya to see that the Americans had to come in to defend them. Or was he doing it for other reasons, as have been suggested on my and other shows over the last 10 days? Was it a trade-off in some way? You can take the ambassador in exchange for the blind cleric. I've seen those stories, but it got out of control. Okay, 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Let's take some callers. Phoenix, Arizona, KLPX. Glenn, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mr. Savage. What a treat. I'd like to know why the president, looks so presidential over the storm. But he wasn't there for the Libya thing.
No. Well, the storm's an easy one. I mean, that's an easy one to look like he cares about the storm, you know. What else is he going to do? He's got to look presidential. So he did. Any president would get up and say, I'm there for you. I got FEMA in place. It's good. And what else? You know, he did what he's supposed to do. This is an easy one. But your point is well taken, and I appreciate your being conscious of the fact that it's all a sham. But that's what politics is. Politics is a game. The whole thing is a game. San Francisco, KSFO. You're up on the Savage Nation, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hi, it's Michelle. Anyway, Mike, thanks for taking my call. Manhattan is the biggest joke as far as the storm. The shelves were, everything was sold out. You can't even fly a kite. There's no wind at all.
You got me confused. You're in San Francisco or in Manhattan?
Manhattan.
Are you calling me? Wait, you're in Manhattan and you're calling me from KSFO? How?
I just got your number. I don't know.
Are you in Manhattan now? How are you listening to the Savage Nation?
I'm on my iPad.
Oh, okay. Somehow that got through? The iPad is working in Manhattan?
Well, I'm on my iPhone, but I'm listening on my iPad. But I can listen on the iPhone, too.
I get it. All right, so you're in Manhattan. And what's the situation?
Hello, first of all, and you can listen to you anywhere.
Michelle, you're driving me crazy. I could see why your husband left you years ago. But Michelle, let me ask you something. Are you in Manhattan now? What are you trying to transmit? What are you trying to tell us?
That there was no big storm.
We saw on the news. The shelves were cleaned out. Everything was gone. Bloomberg was up there and nothing happened.
Absolutely nothing. You can't even fly a kite. There's no wind. The stores are empty. The lines were ridiculous. I'm living at 50 years.
Well, wait, but five are dead. Five are dead. 30-year-old man in Flushing was hit by a tree. Tree fell. I mean, the dead is dead, right? The man is dead.
No, I'm talking about in Manhattan. I'm in the heart. I'm in the
well,
city.
Well, yeah, in Manhattan, no one died.
Yeah,
Manhattan's the lights are out in Manhattan. So where are the drug addicts going to go tonight for their medication? All right, this is a hard call to. You can't play off a caller because it's like by delay. It's an iPad delay system. You can't have fun. I can't wait till the storm is over already so we can actually do radio. This is Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here I am. Welcome, America. Welcome, America. Lights go out and a wall of floodwater surges across Manhattan as Sandy finally arrives. And, of course, the major brunt is already gone. Officials say don't underestimate this storm. Well, I don't know whether to underestimate or overestimate it, but on the West Coast here, when we have a storm, you know, no one pays attention to it. People died, five people are dead, power was shut off, and eventually it'll be over, that's all. And then we'll get back to the cover-up of Libyagate, the greatest scandal since Watergate, covered up by the fifth column passing as the fourth estate. New York Times already put out the spin for Obama tonight, a few hours ago, saying that although they got the cables, they didn't really know what, they didn't know where, although the Dead Seal was screaming and saying, I got him targeted with a laser. Apparently, the New York Times didn't hear about that. Tell that to the Dead Seal's father, who's been all over the media. No, no, according to the New York Times, Obama had no idea what was going on. He was too busy campaigning. Final week of campaigning turned upside down as Hurricane Sandy scrambles plans for Obama and Romney. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. That's the story. That is the story, and the fact of the matter is it's the greatest scandal since Watergate, and it's being covered up because those in the media do not want the American people to know what happened. They will find out eventually, but it'll be too late after the election. It will be swept under the rug. But it shouldn't be swept under the rug, frankly. Libyagate deserves a full exposure right now so that people can decide for themselves if this man is competent to lead this country for another 4 years. I mean, you know my opinion. You know where I stand. If you get a comment on this, I mean, we've covered this over and over again. The storm is the biggest story. But what can we say about the storm that hasn't been said already? To me, Libyagate is a bigger story right now than the storm. It's a much bigger story. And the cover-up by the media is an even bigger story than the storm, by the way. KLIF in Dallas. KLIF Radio. Navy veteran on Benghazi. Eric, welcome to the Savage Nation. Fire away.
God bless you, Dr. Savage. Thank you for being a spectacular voice for America.
Those are nice words. I'll tell you what, they're very inspiring. Thank God there are a few people who are still trying to tell the truth to this dumbed-down nation. Eric, well, tell us your take. Tell us your take on Libyagate.
To serve in the military, and the last few years I was in, I did receive some counterterrorism training, and I can tell you right now, those fallen Navy SEALs followed protocol to the T. And one of the things I know is they were armed with only handguns, pistols, and they killed over 60 terrorists before they were finally overrun. So that says a lot.
I'm surprised that Hillary Clinton let them have bullets.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, that's quite a statement unto itself. How did Hillary allow the SEALs to even have bullets in their guns?
Yeah.
Remember when the Cole was hit? You're an ex-Navy man. Remember when the Cole was hit by under Clinton?
Oh, was yeah, under Clinton? Absolutely.
Do you know that the men on that ship were walking around with rifles that had no bullets in them?
Yeah, because Clinton dumbed down the military and put them under NATO command.
Eric, what do you think it's going to... Let me ask you this. You know what happened in Libya. I know what happened. Millions of Americans know what happened. Do you think this message is going to get out in time for the election?
No, of course not. And that's why I hope that we can provide some kind of voice to our Congress and our Senate to follow up on this investigation even after the election. I have no doubt that Romney's going to win the election, but Obama and his band of thugs needs to be pursued and investigated even beyond November.
The matter is this. Hillary Clinton's political career is over. You have to understand that no matter what happens, Hillary Clinton's reign as Secretary of State has been an unmitigated disaster. Between the Arab winter and Libyagate, she's going to take the fall for it no matter what anyone says.
she was thrown under the bus by Obama. Do you agree with me on that? That's how I read it anyway. And I thank you for listening and calling from KLIF. 1-855-400-SAVAGE every night on a local station. Your local station, 855-400-7282 from anywhere in America where the show is heard. Right now, 132 stations growing by the day, leaping by the day. In Syracuse, Rich, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please, from Syracuse, New York.
Yes, good evening, Doctor.
Go ahead, fire away.
Back again.
Thank you.
Potatoes after living on scraps for about almost a month. I thought I was going to go insane.
So what's your main point tonight, Rich?
With less than a week to go, the election, and it looks like Iran's on the back burner and nothing going on as far as
right
provoking race riots and what have you, what do you foresee is if they could still pull out an October surprise?
Oh, you mean the Chicago machine?
Yeah.
Well, Obama's the luckiest man on earth. The storm has certainly helped him, don't you think?
Well, I don't know if that'll play so much into his favor. Yeah,
The storm helped Obama because his machine is going to milk this for the entire week and bury Libyagate. And his friends in the media are going to cover up Libyagate with storm stories for 3 to 4 days. That's exactly what they're doing, Rich. That's the October surprise, and they benefit from it. Romney doesn't benefit from this. Obama does.
I know. And
this should be the front page news of every newspaper in America, incidentally. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. So many loyal listeners are listening to this program, finding it on their local station. I want to talk about Syria this week. You don't know some element of that so interesting. Many of you don't even know which side to take, but it's a microcosm of what's going on in Egypt and Libya. And do you know the Kurds, who were, like last year were the victims? The Kurds have taken the side of Assad, the dictator. They're fighting alongside the government forces under Assad because they know, the Kurds know, that the so-called rebels fighting Assad are the most dangerous element in the Middle East right now. And take a guess which side your administration is on. The rebels. Just as they were on the side of the rebels in Egypt, look what we got there. On the side of the rebels in Libya, look what we got there. They're now on the side of the so-called rebels in Syria. The Kurds know what's coming. It's the Savage Nation. Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Nice to talk to you again. I'm a loyal listener and still near the Savage Nation. Enjoy your humor and logic. I have a
what, so it used to be known as the wit and wisdom of Michael Savage in this case. In other words, I can be very wise and I can be very witty, or I can be very boring at times. I understand that. Do you think today I'm being witty, wise, or boring?
I'd say witty. And
oh, thank God. I skipped the beat. You took a little while to answer that one. I'm a little worried. No, I swear. It was like a pause. If it was instantly, oh, Mike, it was witty, okay. But no, it was, I think witty, okay. That's not bad. That could be a joke within a joke. BJ, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation on this beautiful Friday.
Dr. Savage, the simple pleasures are the best way to go, and that's been the hallmark of your life. And the Irish people would welcome you with open arms because they don't care much for subjugation or royalty.
Thank you. That's exactly right. They made me into an honorary Irishman of the 1912 period. You know that the Brits have made me into the equivalent of an Irish citizen in the period about 1912.
Michael Collins, now we have Michael Savage.
That's right. You know what? That's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll go to Ireland. I once almost moved there, by the way. I almost emigrated to Ireland. Would you believe it? About 30 years ago, I was going through a phase of I can't live in this country anymore, not with the leftists, what they're doing to this country. And I thought of moving to Ireland, but it was just too complex. I thought of getting like a thatched house, living out in the countryside. What it really was, I heard that they treated writers very well. It would have been a disastrous mistake for me in retrospect. I'm glad I didn't go. I was going to live the writer's life out in the woods. It wouldn't have worked at all. I wouldn't have fit in. I know I wouldn't have fit in. I would have had some friends, you know, the drinking buddies in the pubs. I'd weigh about 197 pounds, at least, maybe 220, maybe a 210-er. Right now, I'm still in, you know, livable shape. But the beer. I'm back on wine again. I'm starting to drink wine. I'm drinking an Alsatian white wine. It's unbelievable. Cheap, but good. I got it from my friend up in Chalet Basque. I first tasted it up there, and I didn't get a headache. Imagine that I've reached a point in life where everything has to be like, does it cause a reaction, like an aversion reaction? Isn't it sickening? I used to drink wine by the bottle. Never bothered me. Then I reached a point where a sip, ugh, every sip my head would, so I was like reduced to drinking a beer or a vodka because it didn't affect me because vodka is the purest of drinks of alcohol, you know, and then the beer, if you know, the German beers are the best. And that was it. I couldn't drink wine, but now I'm drinking wine. It was much, much different high. Couple of glasses of wine, totally different. We should talk about alcohol on Friday, what kind of alcohol and what it does for you. It's absolutely not the same. Look, you drink lab alcohol, you're going to get one buzz. You drink beer, you're going to get another. Let's say in the same amount of alcohol, you drink wine, you're going to get yet another. It's the congeners in the other the other drinks, what they do to you. No wonder people, they swirl it, they look at it, they're just drunks. I love guys sitting around and they swirl. What are they swirling? They have to show off with a glass of wine. Who are they fooling? They just want to drink it and get, you know, wasted. Ex-Wall Streeter took cyanide after the guilty verdict. You see, it fits right into the show. Remember the former Wall Street trader who collapsed in court after being found guilty of arson? Remember they put something in his mouth? They found that it was cyanide. Unbelievable. Orangutan sent to island to kick smoking habit. Oh, come on. That's not, really? I always had a soft spot for orangutans. They're red, you know they're red fur? I'm starting to think about it. You got to be careful. You get an attack orangutan in this country, you don't know what's liable to happen. What if you have a pet orangutan and it runs amok in the street? And I'm into a pessimistic mood, really, so I'd rather not, truthfully. I mean, look what the sewer pipe of Hollywood has done to this country, and we forgot it already. Pessimism never won any battle, said Dwight D. Eisenhower. Yes, that is true. That is true for Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was a warrior and a general. But what if you're an ordinary person? You can't be a pessimist? What's wrong with it? Arnold Bennett, a Victorian-era British author, said pessimism, when you get used to it, is just as agreeable as optimism. And I'll say something else for pessimism. If you're pessimistic long enough, you'll never be disappointed. That's a Savage original. Putting me into the lexicon on pessimism. Michael Savage, the great American author and commentator, said that if you're pessimistic long enough, you will never be disappointed. That's pretty good. I have a very dark sense of humor, to be honest with you. But it's worked for me my whole life. It has worked for me my entire life. The dark sense of humor that I have has gotten me through virtually everything so far. I can't have a false optimism like the how to win friends and influence people, which is, by the way, it is American. How to win friends and influence people. When I first heard that philosophy somewhere after my sufferings of young Wertha phase, like 18, 19, it was so alien to me. I felt like I was from another planet. I tried to twist my brain into being optimistic, but I didn't know how to do it. I had no concept of how to be an optimist. I don't know how to be an optimist. Look at me. Listen to what I'm saying to you. I don't know if you're interested in this, but it's a very interesting topic. Pessimism is an equally valid way to get through life as optimism, right? And yet it's considered almost un-American or anti-American to be pessimistic. I know it is. Oh, look, he's too pessimistic. So? And? What was the difference? Some of the greatest poetry and music, you know, it reflects pessimism, melancholia. I can tell you right now, you listen to any piano concerto of another period, it's all pessimistic music. On the verge of suicide, every piano concerto was written by some genius composer who was this far away from knocking himself off. But he tore his heart out in composing the piano concerto. Very little of it is uplifting. Yeah, maybe he'll go into a few uplifting sections of his composition. So what do you want to talk about? Optimism, pessimism? I would say that most people listen to talk radio are pessimists. That would be my guess. Mixed in would be some of the people who are lifetime optimists. God bless them how they do it. I don't know what it is. You have to always have a positive attitude, keep your head up. It works. I remember, actually, when I think about it, I was going through this phase a long time ago when I read a book by an optimist, a whole workbook. They had all sorts of programs in the Bay Area on how to make you think differently and positively. It was so alien to me. But people at work, coworkers, had the books. And one of the statements, and it made sense, in order for an airplane to fly, it has the attitude of the plane has to be kept up. That got me through the University of California at Berkeley, the last year, the hardest year of my life. I finished it out and got my PhD from Berkeley. I got it in 2.3 years, world record. You know, I don't know if anyone's got a PhD faster than I do from that great university. I came there with two master's degrees and six books to my name, two children, working a job, and I still got a PhD in 2.7 years. Would you believe it? 3.95 index out of a 4.0. You don't read about that because, oh, Michael Savage, Well, the fact is that I remember I had a job during that phase, too. I was working at some job, and the guy had the book where it said, an airplane, in order for it to maintain altitude, must keep its attitude up, meaning the nose had to be up in order to gather the wind. And it's the same with the person. So from that point on, I picked up a little optimism to fly through the program. It was really hard for me and bad. It was the worst. You know, the worst day of my life was in that PhD program. Never. I thought I would never make it through. You want to hear what you want to hear depression? Probably a real PhD in a real science is as tough a thing as you can get, as you can go through. But I've always loved the challenge, and I've always, you know, picked challenges that I could reasonably expect to succeed at. And I wanted a PhD more than anything on the earth at the time. It was the number one thing in my life. It wasn't because I was told it was a union card and it would get me a teaching position, which I wanted very badly. It wasn't just that. It was the honor of a real PhD. I wanted it more than anything I had ever wanted in my life. Right? So I was willing to do anything for it. Well, I had reached the point of the end of the road with, I think it was oral exams were coming up. You don't know what an oral exam is. It's as tough as anything you can go. Maybe a kid going through a parole hearing.
Savage.
When the lights go down. It is the Savage Nations. Maybe I should do a movie based upon trickle-down tyranny after the election's over, while we can still make movies in America before the South American dictatorship takes full force here in America. You know, because after that, I mean, God forbid he wins again, only Sean Penn will be allowed to appear in state approved movies. Well, not just Sean Penn. I would say about 99% of the stable be permitted to appear in movies. But I doubt that any anti-president movie would be allowed to be made. So what do you want to talk about? I mean, come on, lighten up here. Let it go. Enjoy, you know, enjoy. I like Punchelli. I heard it in the car last night on the way home. Hey, don't get me wrong. I mean, I may sound down, but I'm not really down. I'm up. That's the funny part, is that many of you think that I'm down because I sound down, but I'm actually up. This is what I sound like when I'm happy. You ought to hear me when I'm really down. That's when you like my show the best, because I sound happy. You see, when I'm down, I sound up in order to boost myself up. But when I'm actually up, I sound down because, well, whatever, it's the way it works. And the reason I'm actually happy is because I'm taking a new nutritional supplement. I'm not even going to tell you the name of it. I really ought to manufacture this stuff. It has so increased the circulation to the tips of my fingers that my fingertips were red. I noticed it after the meal. And I didn't know whether it was the dye on the chicken, which I didn't think it was. I wouldn't eat dyed chicken. I mean, tandoori chicken is red, but is that red dye? What do they roll it in, nail polish? Or was it, or I'm asking myself, well, was it the pyridoxine that I'm taking that has opened up the circulation? I have such good circulation to begin with. Every one of my arterioles right now is standing up and doing the pachanga. Every arteriole down to the last tip of my toes and fingers, that it's doing a pachanga, every little arteriole. Do you know that? It's fantastic. So in other words, I got blood flowing where blood hasn't been seen in about three decades. My body doesn't even know what blood is in certain parts of its body. everyone's asleep. Do you know that you can leave your children up to $10 million tax-free still in this year? Do you know why? You don't know why. Do you know that a top-ranking Democrat changed the law so that the top-ranking Democrat could pass the money on to her children? Without them being taxed? You didn't know. You see, you don't know these things. Oh, I know. You think Democrats are for the poor. Now, although this Democrat is one of the richest Democrats in the world, And all the Democrats' wealth has gone up about 100-fold since the Democrat became very powerful. And although the Democrat constantly talks about helping the poor and the downtrodden, the fact of the matter is the Democrat personally changed the laws to make certain that $10 million at least could be given to the children tax-free, which is a good thing. I personally think there should be no inheritance tax at all. Why? Why should there be no inheritance tax? Because the money's already been taxed. It's after-tax money. Why should you take more money from me? If I work all my life and I save money that's after-tax money, and when I want to leave it to my children, you should take another 50% of it? Why? To support who? For what? You see how it works? Whatever. I thought the Indian restaurant description made sense, that the world in a microcosm. The world through a plate of lamb bones. But no, went right over your head because you didn't read it on whatever. That means play it. This was as good as the Italian composer Ponchielli was able to do in his time. He had not yet evolved like our rap musicians of today, because he was stuck with the Italian language based upon the Latin, and because he was steeped in the culture of the church and of Italy itself. He was limited in his capacities, and this was the best he could do. This was before people started putting various and sundry minerals in their teeth, jewels in their nose and ears and eyes, and before they ceased to learn the English language entirely in order to produce, well, what some would consider much better music. You have to understand that rap music is far, far better than Ponchielli. But Ponchielli was doing the best the European male could do at that time. He had not yet evolved up to the level that is expected of an artist in Hollywood today. I love it. I mean, maybe it's me. You know, it could just be me, that I'm kind of stuck in the past. And music like this still, I swoon when I listen to it. My mind goes to another place. It's because I haven't evolved to the level of the American culture. I have not yet come up to appreciate those who speak 50 words of English and are worth $50 million. Colorado, Brian, all aboard. You're on the Savage Nation, Brian.
Hi, I just wanted to say that the imagery of your Indian restaurant story was perfect. The imagery was unbelievable. Yep. I've never heard it done.
No, you see, I'm a man who learns from reality and from the street. I'm very lucky in that I grew up in an immigrant home. I had to work. So I learned what was what when I was young. I was raised in a city where everyone had to know what was going on. They got run over, thrown onto the third rail. You know what I mean? But I've never lost it. And this is the problem with elitists like Mayor Bloomberg, who is probably a very decent man, a very well-meaning man, but I don't think he truly understands what people go through down on the elbow-thrashing level of the IRT and the IND. I don't think he understands why poor people buy 32-ounce sodas and why they might buy a can of mother's milk. I don't think he can ever understand that, which is why the rules and regulations that these so-called elitists come up with make no sense to the average person. Thank you. You know, you want to learn what reality is, go into an all-you-can-eat buffet, and you'll see the behavior of different people. And again, you know, I don't blame the Mexican gardeners for eating $30 worth of food when they pay $8.95. If it says all you can eat, and the man is from a poor country and he's working for minimum wage and he's hungry and he's strong, well, he'll eat all he can until someone says, Senor, you know, that's enough already. But nobody will say that because they won't say it. And so the Indian who provides the buffet will go out of business. I will lose a very fine, really excellent place of business because somebody took advantage of the system. This is identical to America itself. We are a giant buffet. The immigrants come here and they're told it's all you can eat for nothing down. Go to the hospital, senor. Oh, your child has a runny nose? Go to the hospital. The idiot can't say no. Go in there and demand a translator. They'll get you a translator. So if it costs the moron $9,000 to diagnose a runny nose, hey, it's all-you-can-eat buffet called America. Now, let's say you want to send your child to school, and so that mean teacher doesn't speak Spanish. And let's say your son can't keep up because he doesn't speak English. hey, we'll provide you with a lawyer because it's all you can eat for free. And then you sue the teacher and the school for not giving your child the tutoring or English as a second language. Hey, it's all the chicken you can eat. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, how do I get my worldview out of reality? Am I right or wrong? Of course I'm right. That's why California is bankrupt. It's why America's bankrupt. Because we have people who don't eat in buffets, all-you-can-eat buffets. They eat somewhere removed from reality, and then they try to impose their surreality upon real reality, and the results don't mesh. The results don't mesh, Hesh. The results don't mesh, Hesh. David, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for taking the call, Dr. Savage. I was just saying that back in England, sir, Winston Churchill kept England from going down. A lot of people listen to him. And you're about the same parallel like Winston Churchill. America's going through a lot of problems right now, political. And history has a way of repeating itself, and we'll rush back into it. And thanks to God, thanks to you, sir, that a lot of people listen to you. And I think that... you're about the same as Winston Churchill did back in the 30s and 40s.
Well, David, that's a great compliment. He is one of the greatest men of modern history, which is why Obama removed his bust from the White House the minute he took office. You know that. See, Obama was recognizing the fact that he could never, ever even live up to Winston Churchill's lowest standards, let alone his mediocre or higher standards. And so in order to get this great man's image out of the White House, he had the bust removed in order to make certain that his mediocrity would prevail and he could think of himself as a great man himself. But I'm not Winston Churchill in so many regards. Number one, I have a poodle, strangely enough, called Teddy, that is a small 10-pound poodle. I didn't know this till after I got Teddy. I didn't do it to imitate him. I thought that Churchill had a bulldog, but no, he had a 10-pound poodle called Rufus. And he loved his poodle very much, as I love my poodle. But the fact of the matter is, other than that, I don't think I have much in common with Winston Churchill. For example, Churchill, although he was a member of the minority party in England, and he was speaking vociferously about the coming war with Germany, and Germany was building up the military, and the British liberals were saying, oh, you right-wing reactionary fool. We live in Marin County, England. You're a reactionary right-winger, Mr. Churchill. England has no place for right-wingers. We're a tolerant nation. We wouldn't care if our women wore burkas. We'd get down and braid a Mecca if we had to, Mr. Churchill. Because, well, we're a tolerant, liberal people, Mr. Churchill. Yep. Play it again, Sam. As I say, Ponchielli did the best he could given the limitations of the European male in that century. He had not yet evolved to the level of those with, let us say, jewels in their nose and ears and teeth. He was just trying his best to compose and play music, as primitive as it may sound compared to the modern productions that we might hear from Warner Records or whoever still makes recordings. Those type of folks, as you know, are far, far superior to Bach, Beethoven, Ponchielli, because, they're not taught anymore. The dead white male is dead. I think music from Ponchielli, Wagner, Bach, you name it. I think that it should be I think it should be made illegal, and I'll tell you why. Just as Obama removed the bust of Churchill from the White House, I think that we should rid ourselves of all remnants of the dead white male in order to progress, in order to diversify, in order to make folks understand how superior the country is today as a multicultural melting pot. I'll be right back. See, we can't have music like this on the show, I'm sorry, because it upsets. It upsets too many people who, it's a dead European male. And the fact of the matter is, it's time for it to go. All of those CDs should be burned in a giant bonfire.
in order to make certain that the new diverse America feels comfortable with its music, with its literature, which doesn't exist, with its fake poetry. This is what's important, is that people feel good. You look back on a great composer like Ponchielli, which I've been playing, who I've been playing today, and you realize at age 8 he was already composing. You understand why a man was composing at age 8. It's because there was no Italian Psychiatric Association yet, or a National Education Association, to tell the parents that he was a disturbed child and put him on medication. And how good really was he? I mean, how many CDs did he really sell in 1850 at age 9? I mean, the real test is whether he wound up on Good Morning Milano, for example. And, of course, because there was no television in those days, there was no gauge of anything that was good or bad. Only television talkers like Katie Couric could determine, or Oprah Winfrey, for example, before supreme judges of American culture had arisen, like Oprah Winfrey. Anyone could have claimed to be a genius composer at 8, and so Ponchielli composed. But there was no one to objectively judge. There was no Italian Education Association. There was no Italian Psychiatric Association. There were no drugs like Ritalin to slow him down. And he didn't get on Italian Idol. I mean, there was no such show in those days, obviously. So how could you truly judge whether he was truly great? And so when you retrospectively review the dead white male composers like Ponchielli, you realize that they're overhyped. I mean, it's the multicultural performers of today. Madonna, for example, or Lady Gaga. Now you're talking great. Now you're talking the epitome of Western civilization. Because there are judges today who can tell us historically that they are great. And there are guys who might put them in a movie. And who would be a better judge of talent? Certainly not the Italians of 1860. What did they know? They find people like Chris Rock, for example. There's a man who's probably more intelligent than Einstein and Copernicus put together, which is why he was invited to the White House. I mean, would Obama invite Chris Rock to the White House, who tweets dirty words from the White House while he's there, if he wasn't the man sufficient of intelligence and greatness and of character to have been invited into the esteemed halls of the White House? It would take a man like Obama to judge who should be in the White House, which is why he's invited some of these superb characters into the White House, is to show us that the age of the old, you know, who I'm talking about, they don't belong there anymore. No, take the bust of Churchill and melt it down. Melt it down and turn it into bling. Yeah, it wouldn't even be worthy of bling because it doesn't shine. I mean, you can't melt down a bronze bust and get something shiny out of it. I don't know what they must have done with it. I guess buried it somewhere on the White House lawn for Beau to go dig up or something. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, what good is it? You melt down the bust of Churchill, at least you make people feel good so they can think that they've invented the world, saved the world, made the world, invented the cure for polio. You know what I'm saying? That's the important thing, is what they feel, not what they actually do. It's what they feel and how they feel about themselves. That's good. See, Doug's quick on the draw. So is the storm going to hit Tampa? That's the big story. Is Romney going to take on Obama in a tough way? Yeah, sure. Yeah, Mr. President, treat him with dignity. Why should you treat Obama with dignity after what he's done to this country? Well, what dignity? What dignity does Obama deserve from someone running against him, trying to save the country from a communist takeover? What do you mean dignity? Well, what is this? What world am I living in? Now you know why O'Romney won't come on the show. Now you understand why O'Romney will not show up on the show. Now you understand why Orion won't come on the show. You understand why they stay away from the core base that can get them elected. Instead, they should pander to the illegal alien. I agree with O'Romney and O'Ryan. I believe they should continue to go on Mexican stations and pander to illegal aliens who don't even have the right to vote, and absolutely not talk to the core base of Americans who are very concerned about the future of the country. I think that's the modern way to think through things. That's the way to run a campaign, definitely. Pander to the illegal alien is not even allowed to vote, and spit in the face of those who can get you elected. That's the smart course. That is.
Now, the buffet was extraordinarily brilliant. My grandparents came here, and if they went out to eat or went to friends, they would bring food. They wouldn't take food. And it's just a great analogy you made.
Well, but it's not so much going to a friend's. I'm talking about an immigrant group, the Indians, running an all-you-can-eat buffet for $8.95, and another immigrant group eating there, but eating them out of house and home because they won't limit the amount of times they can eat to the chicken or the lamb. And so the poor people are going broke. And I don't blame the immigrant group that's eating them out of house and home because no one's put limits on them. And the analogy of the buffet is the same of America. We're like a bunch of morons who's opened the buffet for the third world to come here and feast on it and not even pay the bill. There's no words for it anymore. I'm speechless. It's so obvious that even a child could understand that. But don't tell that to the elites who run America because they'll say you're a racist for even bringing up reality. Certainly you don't want to tell that to Governor this or to President that. Turn to the Republicans for salvation on that issue. You'll get an awful lot of that. I'll be back in a few minutes while we're playing Punchelli, while we're still allowed to, prior to January 2013, when I suspect all the European male music from that period and before will have to be purged from society. I think it should be purged because I think it makes many people uncomfortable.